We'll call this meeting to order. We do have a quorum here, and we can go from there. Somebody want to move the March 14th and March 19th minutes?
I'll do that, Mr. Chair.
Representative Cole, move. Any corrections, additions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Representative Paymar. Move House File 4077 be recommended to pass and returned to finance. There is an author's amendment known as DE-94. Representative Paymar will move author's amendment DE-4. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the author's amendment say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Representative Paymar, would you like to walk through the actual bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think what I'll do is mostly just walk you through the spreadsheets, and I just wanted to say it was a lot more fun last year putting together the budget than putting together this budget, and it's not a good time when we have to make cuts like this, and I wished I had a different budget to present to you today. I'd just like to say that I worked hard, and I know members of this committee worked hard, and trying to convey to the leadership of that public safety is a core function of government, and that we should be careful when we're making cuts to public safety, and that we're facing, as you all know, perhaps even a difficult crisis next year. The governor had recommended $17 million in cuts to public safety. I'm somewhat pleased, I guess, that our target is $5,450,000 less than the governor in terms of cuts, but that still doesn't change that all of these cuts are painful. We followed many of the governor's recommendations, but not all. I'm just going to walk you through a few highlights here and then turn it over to Mr. Carter to go through the spreadsheet in more detail. You can see the cuts that were made to the court. I just wanted the committee to know, and I guess the court to know, that I was not happy when I found out that they knew that they were facing a huge deficit and yet still filled 13 judge positions that we created last year. And I wasn't happy that they did not accurately budget for mandated services for last year's budget. But nevertheless, I think we've all heard from our courts that they're facing a difficult challenge, and we did our best to cushion the blow, and I think the spreadsheet conveys that. You'll see that there's a one-time one-time cut from the fire marshal's account. No positions will be cut. It's estimated that there'll be $5 million in this cut, in this account by the end of the fiscal year. You'll also notice that there's some minor cuts to the Department of Public Safety, and if you look at the rider language in the bill, we've said that they are not to take any monies away from the Office of Justice Programs or from BCA scientists. And finally, I would say that the cuts to corrections are limited to operations, so we won't see any cuts to institutions in this budget. Those are really the highlights of what we did. We tried to balance the cuts as best as we could, and I think we've done a good job. And I'd like to ask Mr. Carter to walk through the spreadsheet with a little more specificity.
Carter. Mr. Chair, members, thank you. I think you all have the spreadsheet in front of you. We will start off with the Supreme Court, and basically what I will be doing is I will be highlighting the differences between the governor's recommendations and the chair's recommendations. Supreme Court operations, There is a difference there. The governor recommended a reduction of $1.265 million. The chair's recommendation is $650,000. That's about half of that. Civil legal services, the governor recommended $516,000 in reductions. The chair's recommendation there is $128,000. So next we go to the Court of Appeals. That's on line 16. It's about half the governor's reduction. The governor has $282,000. The House here has $141,000. District courts, the same thing. It's about half. You know, the governor has a little over $7 million. Chair's recommendations are half that, $3.608 million. Next, we go to the Public Defense Board. Once again, about half. The governor had $2.781 million in reductions. And the chair's rec is $1.69 million. Public safety, we've started on line 37, Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Here, the House is the same as the governor. Next, on the next page, two, we'll go to the BCA. Here we have the CRIMNET reduction. Now, there is a difference there. In the tails will be a little higher than the governor. It's the tails. The governor has tails, and that's the next biennium, $608,000. The chair's recommendation is $817,000. Next on line 46 is an agency-wide administrative reduction that the chair already spoke to, and that is $100,000 a year. That was not in the governor's budget. On line 50 is the fire marshal, and the chair alluded to this. This is a fire safety account where we are transferring. The chair is recommending a transfer of $1 million from that account to the general fund. That is a one-time reduction. Next, we have the Office of Justice Programs. The difference here is the governor had a reduction in crime victim services of $653,000 a year. House or the chair's position on that is zero. The reduction in the Financial Crimes Task Force, the chair's position on that is about $100,000 less than the governor in reductions. And also, we did have a fairly high or a low tails target, so we are taking, to make up that tails target, in this one we are taking an additional $10,000 in tails each year. The on line 59, the squad car technology upgrades. This was funded last year, and the recommendation there is it was not in the governor's recommendation, but recommendation here is to take $500,000 in 09 and $500,000 in 010. This one did have tails. Post board. Basically, we are taking the governor's recommendation, except they said that they had some carry forward that they were going to lose to the general fund. They came up with this money, and it's a small amount, but it is $25,000, and that is in fiscal year 08. Human rights on line 72, that is the same as the governor. The next page for corrections. The first change there is the reimbursement for short-term offenders. That is on line 80. The governor had recommended a reduction of $2.5 million a year. The recommendation here is $1.5 million. So that's a savings of $1 million for the counties. The reduction in the sentencing to serve, those six units there, that is the same as the governor. Then the next difference is on line 87. That is the reduction in operation support for corrections, and that is $344,000 the first year with tails of $400,000 each year. Then, of course, we go to the revenue adjustments, and that's simply to make up, you know, it's just the revenue adjustments that fall to the bottom line. And basically, that is the spreadsheet for chair.
Representative Smith.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Chairman Kmart, remind us what line 87 is intended to do and or what you think the result will be.
Chair, Representative Smith, this is the reduction to corrections. Everyone, as you can see, all of the agencies under the purview of this committee did take some, most of them took some cuts. This is a cut to the Department of Corrections Corporation. This is not cut institutions. If you remember last year, when we had some considerable discussion when we thought we might be having to lay off some guards. That's not going to happen. Our guards will be at the same level and safe. I would like to point out, at least Mr. Carter, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but when you look at the budget for the Department of Corrections operations, in 2004, they had 159.4 FTEs, and in 2007, they had 191.2 FTEs, which is a 20% increase. So we think this is a modest reduction. I've not heard from the Department of Corrections concerns about the cuts, but we think it's a modest reduction, and if it's going to come from anywhere, this is the area we thought was best
Representative
come from.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Then, Chairman Paymer, the cut of 344 would result in a reduction of how many FTEs?
Representative Paymer?
Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Carter maybe could address that a little bit better.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, we do not know. I mean, they may hold positions open or maybe save on travel. Maybe they might not allow out-of-state travel, supplies, supplies. It would basically, we do not dictate where the cut will take place. It will be up to the department.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Carter, do you have a number that represents an average cost per FTE employment exclusive of the perks that you mentioned or the additional that you mentioned? What does it cost to hire an average FTE in the DOC?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I do not have that, but maybe we could get this, or maybe somebody from DOC has it that's in the audience.
Don't see anybody from DOC running. Mr. Chairman, I guess I don't need the actual number of FTEs. I could probably do a little calculation on my own, but it looks like it would, if they chose to not cut out, say, travel, that it would actually result in elimination of some FTE positions, either by not filling or by actually terminating a person.
Chair, that's entirely possible, or that's entirely possible.
Thank you.
I it's not something I want to do, Mr. Smith. I don't know what to tell you.
Thank you for the answer, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bingham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have two comments, not necessarily on the spreadsheet, but regarding Section 11 with the Working Group on the Controlled Substance Laws. I think that's a good idea, and I support your program. The only thing that I would ask is that on line 6.1 of page 6, that maybe you consider increasing the amount of community members that will be affected by any changes, or at least have a little bit more input from the community side of that. The other comment that I would make is, on a separate note, so I'm going to keep my comment short, is on the Financial Crimes Task Force. I would hope that at some point next year this committee would bring in the Financial Crimes Task Force and consider having the broader discussion about maybe moving it to commerce, or just having a discussion about maybe efficiencies and innovation with that project. But thank you for your work, and thank you, staff, for your work on the budget.
Mr. Chair, just in response to that, Representative Bingham, that was really an error on my part, because we did hear from Hennepin County that they thought there should be more community members, and I would really like to have that to be more like four. I don't know that they should all be from Hennepin County, because they have drug problems in St. Paul and other areas in the metropolitan area. So as this moves ahead, we will, and there's also a couple of problems with this. The Senate has different language here. Apparently, it's not appropriate for the chairs to appoint the members, so we will, by the time this thing actually comes to fruition, it will probably look a little bit different than this. Your other question about the Financial Crimes Task Force, I couldn't agree with you more, and I was trying to follow the governor's recommendations. I also had a brief, we listened to Representative Zellers, but I think this is an important issue, that's emerging. The problem is only going to get worse, and whether it stays here in Commerce, I agree with you, we need to address that issue squarely.
Representative Hawes.
Thank you. Representative Smith, what was your empirical estimate on the number of full-time involved in the cut there?
Representative Smith, do you get that figured out? Mr. Chairman, Representative Hawes, I haven't done the math yet. I'll let you know when I do.
Yeah, it's passing in the corridor. I'd be interested in it.
Representative Coles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe a question for Mr. Carter. The transfer from the fire safety account, I apologize if you mentioned this, but is there a surplus in that account now? Are we taking some surplus and moving it to the general fund, or can you kind of walk through what's going on there one more time?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Cole. It is estimated there will be surplus in that account by the end of the biennium of about $5.5 million. Now, the surplus meaning that it could probably be going for some training activities, and as you all know, this is the surcharge on the fire insurance premium, and it's 0.65%.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other discussion? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I object to the use of the word surplus. The fact that this is a new fund, some of the funds haven't been spent as rapidly as perhaps will experience will show. I think it's rather than surplus, that the money is there and has not yet been spent for the training purposes to help the local firefighters in the community is a better usage of words. And it seems to be some funds that we could look at, but the fact that there's no tail and that we're using it on a one-time basis indicates that we have confidence in the fire marshal's office and the training opportunities that will be established in the future, so that we should not covet this money for future use.
Representative Smith.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I sense we're running out of questions and moving towards action on Chairman Tamar's bill, so I would like to offer the Chair a couple of comments. The reality is that we have a $935 million deficit in the state of Minnesota. And just like common sense tells somebody to get in out of the rain when it's raining, I think common sense also tells us, in my opinion, that government should not spend more than it takes in. You, Chairman Tamar, and your troops, you have more of your troops on this committee than I, as the lead Republican, have on this committee, so this is your bill. I do note that any programs that were started last year, I didn't see any cuts, so those were held harmless. One of the cuts I'm looking at, I will not go into great detail, but one area where I do have slight disagreement with you, and that's the cut to the judiciary, because on the one hand, we as a legislature mandate services, we require interpreters, psychological services. I heard testimony where we have, duplicate testing, and there's jury costs, etc., yet we're cutting while we mandate services. However, we do have a deficit, and you have a target to reach. And also, I would just suggest, I've told you in private and here in public, that I think public safety, which basically is the delivery of justice and safety in our society, should not be cut at all, or should at least be the last area to be cut. Now, that does not mean that the minority on this committee supports every program that we have up and running, but I also think that programs and their evaluation should be assessed before they get started, and the second line of assessment would be during a budget year, which is every other year, and this is not. So we do have a deficit. You've made the cuts. You're making proposed cuts. I won't stand in the way. I can't, because there's not enough of me on this committee to do that. And frankly, this is a good result that you have. You've been a very fair chairman, and I would just offer you congratulations on your bill.
Any other discussion? Representative Dominguez.
A couple questions. I was wondering, is this the final bill? Could somebody tell me that?
Representative Paymar.
This is our final, Mr. Chair, this is our bill. This will go to finance tomorrow. There's still an opportunity for amendments to be made by any member of the finance committee tomorrow.
I just want to make note publicly that I'm not too happy with the reduction in the squad car technology upgrades. I know it's a new program, Representative Smith, and I take personally about this. This is one of my bills that I put forward to get upgrading the technology, which is really needed in our squad cars. So I just want to make publicly known that I am displeased that that program is going to be cut. So I just want to make note of that.
Any further discussion? Representative Tamar.
Mr. Chair, I just would like to respond briefly to Representative Smith about the programs that were started. I just, and it sort of ties into the concern Representative Dominguez has, is that we did cut that program because that program does have sales. The program, if you look at what we, I suppose we could have stopped the contracts that were all left to the programs under the Department of Corrections as well as the Department of Public Safety, but that, you know, next year, all bets are off on all those programs. So I totally agree with you, and this is the best that we can do.
Representative Haas.
Anytime you're doing cuts, people should be kind of equally unhappy, I guess. But I would add to that, you know, we worked hard at reestablishing dollars for short-term offenders in the county jails, and that's cut, and that's also public safety. I mean, if you're guarding in a county jail or guarding in a prison, the prisoner is the prisoner. And so, I mean, I accept that, and I realize that you have to make budget balance, but to say that we didn't take any cuts to a new program is not completely accurate.
Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just note, you know, a lot of times when we go through these spreadsheets, we look at how we reduce the bottom line for the chair's targets, and what goes unnoticed is the impact on locals. And I know I've been beating this like a drum lately, but I think it's something that needs to be considered a lot more in this committee, especially in view of public safety, as has been stated by Representative Haas. That has a local impact that we wash our hands of here at the state level, and the locals end up picking it up. And I hope in future years we're able to consider that more, not just in times of deficit, but in times of surplus as well.
Representative Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I guess we're all taking an opportunity to say something today, because this is a pretty difficult process. There's a lot of wringing of hands around this table, and you know, and I'm adding my wringing of hands to that as well. In particular, I am really cognizant that the cuts to the courts are really going to be difficult and painful, and that the courts are already really struggling, and in the mandated services as well. And I guess that this has been a very quick session, and there hasn't really been a lot of opportunity for creative thinking. But I can see from the tales that we're going to have a lot more opportunity for creative thinking in the future. And I guess what I would like to suggest, both to us on the committee and to the people in the audience, is that, you know, we need everybody to think creatively about the way the whole system works. Because one of the things that I've observed, and I got to spend some time in the courts, during the interim now is kind of wearing two hats. And one of the things that I observed is that each sector in the public safety community, you know, the courts, the public defender, the county attorneys, the jails, you know, et cetera, at least where I was working, everybody is very concerned about their own budget, but people give very little thought to the budgets of the other agencies they're interacting with. And somehow we have to get everybody involved in thinking a little more broadly about the entire system and how each agency might help to impact the total picture. And of course, everybody's somewhat limited in how they can do that. Everybody has to adhere to the role that they're given. But I think that there is often an opportunity to kind of see, you know, where you have a choice between doing this and that, which one is going to have the most beneficial effect to the entire system. And, I mean, I say that to, you know, to each one of the groups that's working in the system. So I hope as we go forward that I would like to invite all of the different interests here to think broadly and to come forward with suggestions that you might see in the rest of the system as well as in your own area. I mean, there wouldn't be any harm, I think, in speaking to some of us about things that could be done throughout the system to be more efficient, to deliver justice better, to improve public safety. So that's my pitch for today.
Any other discussion? One last comment by the chairman before I give it back to Representative Paymar. As a member who spent most of his life in either the county government or courts, I could make comments. But to be quite frank, cuts had to be made, and we've done an Representative Paymar and his committee have done an excellent job in finding the cuts, so I am not making any further. Representative Paymar.
I wish to renew my motion.
Oh. No, he promised not to say anything today.
Close her up quick.
Yeah, move it.
Representative Tamar renews his motion that House File 4077 as amended be recommended to pass and return to finance. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Chair, before we adjourn, I just wanted to say that I'd like to thank each and every one of the members of this committee for all your hard work, and this was not easy to do, and this was not an easy vote to take. But as Representative Nolan said, we had to do something. Representative Smith, we might have more troops here, but if I had my druthers, we'd be raising a little bit more revenue, and we wouldn't be making any of those cuts, but I don't have that ability. So let me just say to you, thank you for your support as the lead Republican on this committee, for being honest and respectful of my short tenure here as chair for the last 2 years. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to Vice Chair Olin, to my committee administrator, Melanie Lacombe, and Legislative Assistant Libby Wyrum, and, of course, to Gary Carter, who is, you can see his sharp pencil throughout the spreadsheet. And for his wisdom and understanding the budgets here, and our staff, Jeff Siebel and Becky Pierce, and Kate Weeks and Dennis Bearden, and our Paige, Erica Brindleton. Thank you all for your hard work, and for all of the people back there who are doing the hard work, and the people under those folks who are doing the hard work. This is not going to be an easy year, and I applaud all of the work that we do in this state trying to make our citizens more safe. So thank you all very much.
Thank you. Two announcements. Ms. Myron will get members' signatures on today's minutes once they have been completed in order to pass them and complete our committee books for the session. And this is officially our last meeting. We'll not be meeting again unless you hear otherwise from Ms. Lacombe. And with nothing else left to be said that hasn't already, we hereby are adjourned.